Well, it's a privilege to be able to stand before you and welcome you to the memorial service of Elizabeth Du Bois. And she's healed. I can imagine the song that Laura was playing just before we started. She was playing Finally Home. Now, I'm going to try to read the words to you. They're so good. It says, when engulfed by the terror of the tempestuous sea, unknown waves before you roll, at the end of doubt and peril is eternity. Though fear and conflict seize your weary soul, but just think of stepping on shore and finding it heaven, of touching a hand and finding it God's, of breathing new air and finding it celestial, of waking up in glory and finding it home. That's where she is. We praise the Lord that she had a testimony that was able to back that up, because her hope was in Jesus. And that's the title of the song that the choir is going to sing.
Unchanging grace, faith is weak and
It's going to be a slide presentation just as soon as this thing gets warmed up, and it should be starting here very shortly.
Let the trumpet play and the angels sing every sweet refrain of amazing grace, and that heaven's hands opened up the gates and the children danced when they saw your face. Let the trumpet play and the angels sing every sweet refrain of amazing grace, and that heaven's hands opened up the gates and the children danced when they saw your face. As happy as they were to see you. The trumpet played, and the angels sang every sweet refrain of amazing grace, and that heaven's hands opened up the gates, and the children danced when they saw your face. It's happy. I was just a sad to have to watch you go. Oh, but knowing what I know about heaven, believing that you're all the way home, knowing that you're somewhere better, is all I need to let you go. I hope that
every tear that's raining here from my
I'd like to invite you to join with me and turn to page 294 in your hymn book. And we'd like to sing a song that was requested by the family. We'd like to sing Trust His Word, number 294.
Thank you.
Thank you. Be seated. Well, we're going to have a brief testimony time, and we've got a microphone here that we normally will pass around so you can be heard to be able to say some things about Elizabeth if you'd like to. And it is now turned on. I'm going to begin it. And I'm probably one of her longest standing, other than my niece, Sunshine Corner Kids, that's here. I think Elizabeth took over being leader of Sunshine Corner when I was about 11 years old. And as you can see my gray hair and the wrinkles on my face, that was a pretty good time ago. But I can definitely say that over the years that I have known Elizabeth and the times that I had the privilege of being under her leadership during those years, I learned a lot. And I count her as one of my spiritual mothers. She did a lot for me as a kid. She was kind. She even probably was very successful in arranging a surprise birthday party when I turned 13. She had an act of being able to make you think you were going somewhere when you weren't. They used to have a Volkswagen van, and I remember that van well. It was green. And I remember the floorboard of that van very well because her idea was to get me down in the floorboard and try to guess where we were. And so I was kept trying to figure out where we were, and finally we showed up at my house, and I raised up, and I had, why are we here? I thought we were going somewhere else. But anyway, I have very fond memories of Elizabeth and the way she conducted Sunshine Corner. She was one of the ones that taught me that Hezekiah was not a book in the Bible because that was part of the sword drill. And so it was always a joy to be able to learn things like that. And I'm sure my niece can share some of the same stories because she was there just about every service as well. But anyway, I don't want to take up a lot of time. We are going to miss her, but I'm sure where she is now, she would say, I'll see you in a few minutes. Because, you know, the Bible says that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And so it's not going to be long before we're able to join her. So we look forward to that time. But if anybody would like to say something, if you'll raise your hand, or we'll make sure that the microphone gets to you.
Kelly asked me to read a letter for her that she wrote. My friend Jessica Burney agreed to share my thoughts with you, as I would never be able to stand in front of a crowd and do mom justice. I hardly know where to begin with something like this, but what I do want to say is what an amazing lady Elizabeth was to me. She raised me since toddlerhood, and oh, what a blessing in disguise it was. When my mother died when I was 15, there was no having to pick up and start over with a new life. I was already exactly where I was supposed to be. Although I did not always appreciate it, she did a wonderful job raising me, along with my pop, with godly morals and a strong Christian foundation. They sent me to Calvary Christian School from K through 12th grade. They made sure I was in church every time the doors were open, and they taught me so much about putting others before yourself. I would not be the woman that I am today if I hadn't been for her. I gave her horrendous grief throughout my teenage and young adult years, but our relationship really thrived and flourished after I got married. She became not only a mom, but my best friend and my confidant. At times, she could be a little brash and a little rough around the edges, but for those who truly, deeply knew her, she was one of the sweetest, most giving, humble, and graceful women I have ever known. Mom called me with her diagnosis when my daughter was just 4 months old. She said the doctors had given her 3 to 6 months to live, and so I didn't think she'd make it to Keturah's first birthday. Well, the doctors don't know everything, and they're not in control. She went on to have 3 wonderful years with my daughter that I will forever be thankful for. They had a unique bond, and I'm grateful for the memories that were made From Mimi teaching Keturah how to say goodbye, to watching the two of them play the piano in the sunroom, to Keturah sitting on the bar stool ready to eat whatever snack Mimi had prepared. They were double trouble together. Just like any other family, we also went through difficult times together, like when she decided to remarry without telling any of her family. I wasn't sure how I would get through that, but with time and by the grace of God, I did, and I really came to appreciate her husband, Bob. She was very lonely after my pop died, and she prayed that the Lord would send her a companion, and he did. She and Bob went all over North Carolina together, from the beach to the mountains, and did all kinds of things that I'm sure she would have not gotten to do otherwise. I'll forever be thankful to Bob for the relationship that they had and for the way that he took care of her until the end. I also wanted to say thank you to her church family. I will never forget the kindness that has been extended to our family these last few months with phone calls, text messages, and visits that were made. You just don't really grasp what those things mean until you're in those circumstances. She was humbled by the outpouring of love shown towards her. The last thing I want to leave you with is what Mom would have wanted you to know, what she would want you to carry away from today. Services like this are not for the dead. They are for the living. This is a time to celebrate that she is in heaven with her Savior, that is, she is finally healed. Mom was a Christian. She was a believer in Jesus, and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I will see her again someday. She would want you to know that the single most important decision you'll ever make is to trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior and to live for Him each day, to admit that you're a sinner, to believe that He died for you, He gave His life for you on a cross at Calvary, to confess your sin to Him, and to choose to spend the rest of your life serving Him. At the end of her life, it wasn't about how many materialistic things she had, what kind of car she drove, or what she looked like. At the end, she told me numerous times she wished she had done more for the Lord. She told me often, "There is still time for you, Kelly. You still have time to serve Him." So I would believe that she would want you to make sure that you're saved and to make sure that your relationship with Him is the centerfold of your life.
I'm going to read a couple things throughout the time that everybody else is talking, but the first one is from a kid, a Facebook post from a kid named Sam Phillips that went to school here at Calvary, and he's a young black man, and he said, "Today I woke up to the knowledge that one of the sweetest, kindest women went home to be with the Lord. She was one who could light up a room with her smile." Through the years, I've lost contact with her. Every time I saw her, I was always thanking her for that very day 20 years ago, sitting in after-school daycare, Sunshine Corner, I think was the name. As I spoke with her and she led me to Christ, though I had heard the gospel many times, she was who God used in my life to show truth. I still thank her until this day. Rest in heaven, Mrs. Kelly. You will be missed on earth, but we celebrate you as the Lord welcomes you home. Anyhow, the next person who wants to speak, if you'll just let me know, I'll bring you the mic, and then I'll find my place in another message that we got.
I'm Sissy King. Some of y'all don't know me, but Lord Jesus Christ saved me in 1972, and 2 weeks later saved my husband. And Peter had been a Roman Catholic. I grew up a United Methodist, so we didn't we got saved and we didn't have a clue. And Dwight was the one that the Lord used to bring the Word of God to us. So Dwight was looking around for a church, and Peter and I were just going, church, what's that? We're just going to stay out here and worship the Lord together because we were out living on the Van Matthews farm. Well, Dwight came to the house maybe in probably about April 1972 and said, hey, you got to turn on WEEB and hear this man. He's preaching out of the Bible. And we're just going, huh? Does anybody preach out of the Bible? And so Dwight turned on WEEB, and that was the first time I ever heard Kent Kelly. And I can remember to this day he was preaching on Gideon. I'd never heard anybody preach out of the Bible. So we didn't know that there were Sunday night services and Wednesday night services, because that was not where my husband and I came from. We didn't know about anything like what a real church is. So the next Sunday morning, Dwight and Peter and I came down to Calvary Memorial Church looking like the dregs of the world, because that's what we were. We were the gutter crowd. And I'll never forget walking through the doors of this place, and I had on my one dress, which was a real micro mini. Peter had on just some old gutty clothes, because that's all we wore. And Dwight had on his T-shirt turned inside out. I mean, that's just the way we looked. And we came in down here, and everybody just welcomed us. I mean, just like they didn't know who we were. And what's interesting is I grew up every summer in Moorhead City, and that's where Elizabeth was from. She was a little bit older than me, and our paths had never crossed. But I grew up in Moorhead City, and that's where Elizabeth was from. Elizabeth had 7 brothers, and I had 3. So we were kind of the same kind of personality. We're kind of tomboyish, not real. I mean, just kind of, well, I'm kind of mean as a snake. So, yeah, that's what I'm kind of like. Anyway, so we were, I remember meeting her right away. I remember meeting Bessie and Lynn and everybody just, Eleanor Honeycup, everybody just opened their arms. And so this is where I began. And I just thank God that he brought us here, because we got the Bible taught to us as brand new believers. And when I think of Elizabeth, the first thing I think of when I come in here is that I think of Sunshine Corner. I remember that she was doing Sunshine Corner, and the kids all loved it. They just couldn't wait to go to Sunshine Corner. Well, as the years went by, God did a wonderful work here. And one of the most wonderful things that the Lord Jesus, in my estimation, did, related to all those that are sitting here, is he knitted together a bunch of weirdos. I look around and I see a bunch of people that God put together, and it doesn't matter whether we ever see each other. We're knitted together. God's done it. And I was in Big Lots maybe about a year ago one night, and I walked around the corner, and there was Elizabeth and her husband and Bob. And I'm telling you what, we had the most fun. We were in Big Lots for maybe 3 hours. And I'm on my walker, because I'm in pretty bad shape physically. Who cares? I've got Jesus, so I'm in great shape. So every time we would go around an aisle, I'd run into Elizabeth again. We were dying laughing. And we were just fellowshipping, having the best time. I said, Elizabeth, you know what? Hadn't the Lord been so good to us? I mean, and she was talking about, you know, the doctor said I should be dead. I said, yeah. I said, my doctors say I should be dead or never out of the bed. I said, they don't know anything. You know, that can fix a broken leg, but that's about it. So I thank God for good doctors. But anyway, we had the most fun I think I have ever had with Elizabeth. We had a blast at Big Lots. Finally, it was time to close, and they were saying, you know, make your purchases and get to the counter. Well, Elizabeth, I was in such bad shape, I could hardly get out of the store. So she, and she's in bad shape, she's helping me into my car, and we were just dying laughing because of here we are all these years later, and we're knitted together by the Lord, by His blood. So it's just wonderful what the Lord does. Well, I've seen her every now and then since then. And one time she came over to my house trying to encourage me because I couldn't get out. I couldn't get out of the bed. And she wanted me to go out to eat with her. And I said, I'd love to go out to eat, but I can't move hardly. So I just thank God for her. I thank God for her testimony. She did a lot for my own three children. And I just praise the Lord for her life, her testimony. We had some rough times. Who doesn't have some rough times? You know, all of us have some rough times. I mean, in our relationships, we have rough times. But you know what? It doesn't matter. If you're washed in the blood, if you are the Lord's, He's got a great big old family, and I just am thankful. I didn't know that she had passed. I heard a couple of weeks ago that she was in really bad shape, and I said, well, can I go? And they said, no, hospice won't let you in. Well, I know about that because I had hospice. I was supposed to have gone out in 2008, and I was real mad that the Lord didn't let me go out. I was so ready to go, and I was saying, Lord, please let me go. He wouldn't let me go. I'm still here. So I understand about hospice. So I told Lynn, I went to the bookstore and I said, I got a card for her. I bought this flower. I didn't know why I'd bought the flower. But I saw this beautiful flower and I thought, man, I got to buy that. Well, it's supposed to be for her. I didn't have a clue. So I took it to the bookstore and I said, Lynn, you have to take this to Elizabeth because they won't let me in. So I wanted so much to see her right before she went to heaven. But about maybe 2 months ago, I was talking to her. And I said, Elizabeth, when you get to heaven, will you tell Peter I'm behaving myself? Anybody that knows me knows that is not true. Anyway, she said to me, there are no liars allowed in heaven. So we laughed. We were just laughing. I said, well, you know what? Peter's up there in the glory land for 14 years, and I just praise God. Hey, we're all going to get there if we're washed in the blood, and we're never going to have to say goodbye. That is the most joyful, besides the fact that our Savior, our Jesus, is there. And we're never going to be separated from Him. I mean, He's in us now, but we don't see Him in the flesh. We're never going to be separated. And that's the most wonderful thing in the whole wide world is being with the One who gave everything for us. I can't shut my mouth. I really can't. I cannot shut my mouth. I'll tell you what. When my husband went to heaven, I was in such shock. Well, 2 weeks after Peter went to heaven, this is part of my testimony. The Lord, I hadn't been able to cry, so I started crying on the Easter Sunday morning, about 1 o'clock in the morning. And I cried till about 4:30. And then the Lord spoke to my spirit, and He said, okay, sissy, I'll give you a choice. You can either be depressed and depressing to everybody you're around, or you can praise me. Well, I was in such shock, I couldn't hardly even figure anything out. I didn't know I had chosen to praise the Lord. Well, Sunday morning, Brian and Becca came to pick me up, take me to church. And I wasn't ready, so I went out and knocked on Brian's window.
he rolled it down, and this is what I said, just like this. Joyful Resurrection Day. No joy, no nothing, nothing. But I chose to praise God. And all I can say is I'm getting louder. I can't help it. If you're saved and washed in the blood, you have everything to praise Him for. And this little life is going to be over so soon. You know what? We got a little bit of time. We got a little space of time. So I'm kind of a loudmouth Christian. Everybody that knows me knows I'm a loudmouth. I would like to be quiet and like a Proverbs 31 woman like this one here, you know, like Teresa or some of the other ladies that are here. Yeah, I'd like to be like that, but I'm not. So I can't help it. I'm praising God to high heaven. I praise God for putting me in the family of God, that He'd want a wretch like me. And Elizabeth said the same thing. It's amazing grace that Jesus would want, what? Sinners. And there ain't anybody else on the world except sinners. So, yeah, I'm an old teacher, and I can go on and on and on. And Lynn's got her hand up to her mouth going...
Thank you,
Lynn. Yeah, thank you.
There's other people.
Hey, I know that. I can't help it. Thank God for Elizabeth's testimony. Thank God for all y'all. I love my brethren.
Well, my first memories of Elizabeth, I just wanted to say it was like in 1970. And within like 3 months, I eloped and got saved. And when I got saved, I immediately knew that my mini dresses were not a very good testimony. But I did not have money just getting married. I did not have money to sew new dresses or go buy new dresses. So Elizabeth told me, she said, I will help you. So I went to Elizabeth, and we sewed material on the bottom of my dresses all the way around. That's how I wore my dresses until I could afford more. And that was just a testimony to me that she was willing to help me be a testimony by not wearing my mini dresses that I had. So I just wanted to share that.
Long time.
I helped Elizabeth in Sunshine Corner, and I'm thankful for that I got to help. And I got to, Bob and I got to be witnesses at Bob and Elizabeth when they got married, and we're thankful for that. And then every Monday we'd go out to eat together with Bob and Elizabeth, Ulrika, and we got to know each other, we fellowshiped. We encouraged each other, and we're really going to miss that. And we love you guys, and we're praying for your family.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and tell y'all, if you're a crier, you better get your Kleenex ready. I couldn't stand up here today and say all this, so I had to write it down. But even as I was reading it to Mom and Dad last night, the tears just flew. Some of you don't know me, but I'm Vita Smith, and I'm Jerry and Barbara Hosley's daughter. And you may not think that significant, but it's significant to me. And it all comes from the story of how I came to be Barbara and Jerry Hosley's daughter. Back many years ago, my mom came to Calvary, young and pregnant. And she needed help. So she moved in to Calvary Corner And shortly after having me, she went to Pastor Kelly and said that he needed to know if he knew somebody that was willing to adopt me because she could not care for me at her young age. Well, anybody that knows Pastor Kelly knows that after much thought and prayer, he decided he would go home and he would ask Miss Elizabeth if she wanted me. Well, that was a dumb question to ask Miss Elizabeth. Of course she wanted me, but she knew with Casey being so young and with the sickness that she incurred after Casey that I needed to be placed somewhere else. And the Lord guided Pastor Kelly and Elizabeth to give me to Barbara and Jerry. And not only did I need them, but they needed me. They had recently lost a child of their own. So you fast forward a few years, and here I was, adopted by Barbara and Jerry, and I was attending Calvary Memorial Church. I was enrolled in Calvary Christian School and loved Sunshine Corner. And it was at Sunshine Corner, after the program that day, that Elizabeth led me to the Lord. Yeah, I was young. And it took several years to being at camp at the Wilds one year that I finally realized I may have got saved when I was young, but I was not living for the Lord. Well, I graduated from Calvary, and there was a lot of fiery trials that I went through. And every time I left Calvary, the Lord kept bringing me back and bringing me back. And every time I walked through that door, there stood Miss Elizabeth, smiling at me and hugging at me, just like I was her own daughter. One of my fiery trials that I went through was when I had my son, Corey. The Lord almost took me home. Prayers went up all through the church on my behalf, but that wasn't enough for Miss Elizabeth. She showed up at the hospital and sat there with my mom, holding her hand until they knew that I was okay. Mom and Elizabeth has had a relationship for 47 years. And it wasn't until these last couple months that I learned a lot of things about Mom and Elizabeth. Mom was always there, dear Sunshine Girls. Every time that Miss Elizabeth would take us on a trip, Mom was there. So they were best of friends. But that friendship started because, like Benny said, my sisters and my brothers were coming to Sunshine Corner. And Mom and Dad started to come to church, and neither one of them were saved. Well, one Sunday morning, Pastor Kelly preached a message and gave an invitation. And my mom started to go forward, and she stopped. Well, that very next day, Pastor Kelly, without any knowledge of knowing what had happened, walked into his house, and he told Elizabeth, he said, "I want you to go down there to Barbara Hinesley's house, and I want you to lead her to the Lord." Miss Elizabeth did just that. She went down there and she led Mom to the Lord. Another story I can remember that my dad tells quite often is when we were all young, he was working as hard as can be, raising five of us. And we needed a wash machine. And my dad is not a person to ask for help. To this day, even in the shape that he's in, he hates for people to help him. But he wasn't a person to ask for help. But Mrs. Kelly, Mrs. Elizabeth, and Mr. Kelly found out that he needed the washing machine. And knowing that he would pitch a fit if they showed up with that washing machine, they did it when he was not at home. They put it on the front porch. But when they got home, they knew where that washing machine came from. But as these days have come and we've spent more and more time with Elizabeth, I've told Miss Elizabeth, you know, the Lord knew exactly what he was doing 41 years ago when he told them that I needed to be with Barbara Jerry, because I know that Miss Elizabeth could not have handled me and Kelly both through our teenage years. Her blonde hair would have been gray and white a long time ago. But I thank the Lord for Miss Elizabeth. I really do. There's not a day that has gone by since her passing that I haven't thought of her and what she's meant to me. But Bob, Alan, Casey, Diane, Kelly, Daniel, Grace, Ariel, Buddy, Jordan, we thank you for sharing Miss Elizabeth with us. We thank you for the testimony that she's been for us. And though her race on earth here is done, know that her duty in heaven is just beginning. As she watches down on all of us, I know that she's walking by the waters of God now, and we'll see her very, very soon.
My name is Barbara Pond. I came to this church in 1974, and one of the first people I met was Elizabeth Kelly. Elizabeth Kelly had a great gift of making you feel at home, and you've heard some other people say that, but when you came in the back door, she was the great greeter of newcomers. And nobody got to a newcomer before Elizabeth did. But she welcomed everybody. It was one of her great gifts, is that she was an encourager. She encouraged people to stay here and come to the services. And I did Sunshine Corner with her for about a year and a half when I first came here. But I don't think a lot of people realize how many people have come to this church, especially in those early years. And one of the reasons that they felt at home here was Elizabeth and her friendliness. And so that is one of the things about her that I appreciate the most. And thank you very much.
My name is Bob Kersling, and you may not know it, but Mrs. Kelly Dubois had so many talents. I was a young paratrooper, and she welcomed me into this church. And not only that, this is my wife, Patricia, and she's quite a matchmaker. And I was 31 when I got married, and I came here when I was 19. And the Lord called me to serve here and work here. And now I've got children and grandchildren but that go to this school and this church. And Elizabeth was very kind. Like when I would mow her grass or do different things, she's one of the few people that will come out and bring you one of her tall, ice-cold glass of tea, great southern tea. And her Christmas cookies were wonderful. You know, and that's enough to keep you raking and mowing and weed eating and doing everything. That's real Southern hospitality. But, I wondered, I'd get invited over to her house to eat, and this lady would show up. And I'd say, and after a while, slow as I am, I'd say, like, why is she there? But Elizabeth was really good at matchmaking. And we've been married now about 31, 32 years. So it's stuck. And I guess that's about it. But, I mean, all the stories you could tell about Elizabeth and her kindness and her testimony. Sunshine Corner was wonderful. Even though I wasn't a child, I still remember the song. Sunshine Corner is the place to be. It's for kids from 1 to 93. And I don't remember the rest of it, but it was a really good song. And she was gifted. I mean, she was really gifted. You wanted to get saved if you listened to her testimony. She made the Bible come alive, even though she's not a preacher, but she had a real testimony.
Let me just say this. Art said he didn't need this, and a couple other people have said it as well. But the truth is this is being broadcast on sermon audio, and there are people who could not be here who, one, are getting to see it right now, and two, will get to see it later when they are home from work or wherever it was that they had to be that they were not able to be here. So it has to be here.
Well, in that case, I won't speak.
No, go ahead. Please.
My name is Art Rimber. I came here. This is why I came. I came here in 1972. I'm a paratrooper. I was the first military person to come here. And when I came here, I was blessed to be part of a family, and that's what this is. Is a family. We had Honeycutts, had Kellys, had Ingrams, a lot of Ingrams now. And my name is Rimber, so I wasn't one of those, but they made me a family. I ate so good at all these places, and I was blessed. I was 19 years old, I guess. And I'd only been saved a year. I got saved in 1971. And I was blessed to come here. And now I find out that Sissy and Peter and Dwight came here early, just before that. And so I'm finding out things I didn't know then. But the point is that I came here and you took part in the things that we had cottage prayer meeting. That was the first meeting I ever came to was cottage prayer meeting. It was right back here. And we opened the thing up and it was, anyway, the blessing is that I got to know all these people, but Elizabeth and Kent used to have me over and they'd play Scrabble. Don't ever play Scrabble with Kent and Elizabeth. Never did that again because I was the dummy, and you talk about somebody who was special. But the thing is what I, you know, Casey and Alan and Keisha were babies, not babies, but they were young. And that was my family. That was my family. And I also was able to be part of Sunshine Corner. Elizabeth asked me to help her in Sunshine Corner. And I was able to be part of that. And if you only knew, you've heard the testimonies of others. If you only knew the people that's come through here in Sunshine Corner, they might not even came to church at Calvary. But they came to Sunshine Corner. Sunshine Corner was on... At the time I was doing it and helping her, it was on Wednesday afternoon at like 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock, something like that. and we'd have it for a couple hours, and then of course we had church Wednesday night. But that was every Wednesday on the button, and there was people packed in that, and these people, children would come to that, that was from other churches or other places that maybe not, didn't go to church. That was the testimony. That was the testimony of Elizabeth, because she started that. It was hers. And I was privileged to be able to be part of that and to see. I just thank you for being here. I thank you for, as somebody said, allowing me to be part of a family. And I see some people that I hadn't seen in a while. And I love you guys. I love you.
Initially, before we decided just to have an open testimony, she made a list of about a dozen people. And I'm not going to tell you who's on it except that Art was on the list.
My name is George Schofield, and I too was from Fort Bragg when I came to Calvary. And Kent and Elizabeth were very, very kind and to us young soldiers, as well as many other people at Calvary. Art Rimber's one of them in his family. And that's how I met my wife. I'm very thankful for that. But Elizabeth was a real blessing to me. I've been a Christian for a few years, not involved in politics. And I heard so many things taught at this church that it was amazing to me, especially with pro-life issues and such. And she was such an encourager to get involved and have a passion for those who don't have an opportunity to stand up for themselves, such as the unborn. And she is just such a blessing to encourage me to do those things. And she was so kind. I remember them inviting myself and a couple other soldiers over to their house. And I wasn't roped into playing Scrabble like Art, though. But they were very, very hospitable and very kind. And I'll never forget them. And I've enjoyed some of the tea that Bob's talked about and the Christmas cookies. But she was always very kind and very gracious. And I don't ever remember saying a bad word or a bad thing about anyone. And had many a long talk sometimes over the last couple years on her porch. And her and Bob were just very hospitable and very kind as well. And I will definitely remember her. And again, my deepest sympathies from my family to Casey and Kelly and Alan and the rest of their family. But she will be very much missed, and I just want to say that.
Mr. Kersling. Mr. Kersling suggested that I speak. I had no intention. What a special lady. We came lately. We didn't move here until 05. And as I look through the people gathered here, I hope you'll forgive me if you're not of this persuasion, conservative. I sense that I'm among other conservatives. To a person, I met Elizabeth at More Republican Women. I also met Elizabeth and got to know her better when I started More T Citizens with two other women. And she was there when we needed her to be there. She always had that beautiful smile, and we'll never forget it. At More Republican Women and in the Republican Party of Moore County, she was not always treated well. I don't know this because I was here. I know this because it was reported to me. And I'm sorry. And I've told Elizabeth how sorry I am that there was a time when she was not treated well. Enough said about that. But what a wonderful thing that Elizabeth never walked away from the conservatives in the Republican Party and the conservatives who are independent. And yes, even the conservatives who are Democrats. May the Lord bless them and bring them to our family. One story. Elizabeth knew that the Tea Party wanted to register people to vote. We had a More Tea Citizens banner and a table or two, and we needed a place to go. And we thought where the Tea Party began in Southern Pines would be a wonderful place to go. And she said, why not in front of the store? And she would come and sit with us, didn't she? Week after week. And people would walk by and sign up to vote in Moore County. And God bless our dear Elizabeth, because it was her idea that we come together there. And there may even be people in this room that we met at one of those Friday afternoon and evening get-togethers when we didn't know who would come by. There weren't very many people who said, what are you doing here? They seemed to know that it was important for voters to be allowed and encouraged to register to vote. So we thank you, Elizabeth, for the gifts that you had that crossed these boundaries of church and even politics. What a gift. Thank you.
I haven't put a time limit on anybody yet, but Bob, 5 minutes.
That guy over there that looks like Robert Duvall. Personally, one of the first guy. The guy over there, anyway, looks like Bob Duvall. Cuts the grass, gets the cookies and the iced tea. He was talking in the bookstore one day when I was there looking at tracks, and I heard him talking to the women behind the counter, and he was saying all the same things that I believed in and thought about, and he was saying it extra loud. So he didn't know me at the time, and he was hoping I'd learn something from what he was saying. But anyway, I said to myself, I got to meet this guy. So I went over and started talking to him. Got to know him. He's the one that invited me to this church. And I don't do mornings too well, so I asked if there was some night services. And they said yes, Wednesday and Sunday. And anyway, he started coming here and all that. And I think he invited me to one of the meetings. Didn't Elizabeth have that over at Russell's Fish House at one time? Yeah, tea party. Okay. And anyway, I guess I didn't, that's thought she was pretty nice and everything. Didn't think much about her at the time. But anyway, I started coming to church here. And I looked pretty rough. I think I wanted people to think I lived under a bridge somewhere. So that they would have a chance to either love me or show their true selves, you know, not loving me or whatever. Anyway, and I was as nice as I could be to people because I wanted to get to know them and started learning their names and would shake their hands all the time. And they're just very sweet, precious people. And anyway, I started talking to Elizabeth and especially this one particular night. And it was, yes, okay. I got a little more time. Anyway, all right. Anyway, the point is, one night after church, I got talking to her, and she was sitting in her van with the door open, and I was standing there talking to her. And everybody else was gone a long time ago, and I was there for about an hour and a half. And her son, Alan, in security, was patrolling the property. He came down there and told us to go home. And she had a great idea. She said, well, why don't we go somewhere and get something to eat? So we went over to Tripp's, which is no longer the building's there, but it's a new place now. And it was late. The place was closing. And this, we went inside, and this waitress was smiling real big and took us to a booth, sat down, and shared some kind of ribeye. Oh, yeah, they didn't have the meat they were supposed to have, so they had to give us something better, which was nice. But anyway, it got to the point where we couldn't stay away from each other eventually. And I didn't meet her till maybe March of 2014. And we got along real well together and just spent all kinds of time with her. And anyway, we figured at one point, I guess we ought to get married and stuff. But so anyway, we got married, and she was, anyway, there was different issues there. And we sort of eloped. We went all the way up to Carthage. We got this guy who's the justice of the peace or whatever, to marry us. Real sweet guy's name was Smoke, and you know, like smoke and mirrors and all that, whatever. But anyway, he there was that whole thing about the Marriage Amendment Act, and people were gonna he was gonna do one more wedding after ours on the next Saturday, you know, the next day, with some friends. But ours was the last, other than that, because he wasn't going to do all this gay marriage stuff. And real sweet brother, Christian. Anyway, we got married, and Bob and Patty were there. And Ken, who works for the sheriff's department, he was there too, and is in his uniform, making sure we went through with it. Anyway, but it's, if I had known her 40 years ago and been through all the stuff other people here have been with her, I would have been worn out 20 years ago. I mean, you know, I've been with her like 2.5 years, and a sweet, precious lady now. She, that one picture, she looks like a queen and everything. She looks like Queen Elizabeth, and she's just, she's done so much for so many people. And oh, yeah, your time clock there. Oh, yeah, 3 seconds left or something. Anyway, she did so much for so many people for so many years and influenced people, got people saved, tried to help the right people get elected. A wonderful precious lady, and it was an honor to know her and be part of her life. And she would really get upset with me many, many times. And I didn't know what I was doing, and I asked God to change her heart, and he finally showed her that I didn't know what I was doing that made her mad, but she'd get mad. And anyway, but it's just, you know, she was such a blessing, you know. I've got so much more to say, but
that's why we have a fellowship thing afterwards to eat, and people can come ask you all kinds.
Oh, yeah, one more thing. I said this out at the gravesite the other day. Y'all are here for her. It has nothing to do with me, but in her behalf, I would like to thank each and every one of you for any good thought you've ever had towards her. And any prayers? And any love. Thank you so much. God bless you.
I don't know if I'm going to be the last or if we're just halfway through. Thanks. But I'd like to just honor a woman who was probably the most stubborn individual I've ever met. And I don't know if anybody in here has experienced that, you know, in their relationship with her. But, you know, she taught me how to be stubborn. And I'm probably obstinate to this day, you know, probably more than most because of her. But she taught me how to be stubborn about what was right. And that's just something that, you know, I think we all admire in her. You know, and as Steve mentioned about the her work in politics, and she was just, you know, she was faithful. She was, you know, she was dedicated and passionate, but stubborn. And it didn't matter about anything else. It just mattered about, you know, whether this individual, this person was a conservative, whether they were, you know, the right person for the job. And, you know, I just very thankful to her for that. But really what I wanted to say is I just wanted to thank all the people that were involved in her care at the end of her life. And, you know, right through hospice and, you know, in the hospice house. And that meant so much to her to be over there and to, you know, and the care that she received there. And, you know, those that prayed for her, those that came by to visit, those that tried to come by and visit. You know, I know a lot would attempt to, and she just wasn't up to it there towards the end of her life. But listen, I do thank you. And, you know, I just thank the Lord that we, you know, we're honored to be a part of her life, and that she, you know, she meant so much to us, and I know she's where she wants to be. Thank you.
My name is George Ingram. I heard somebody over the way there say something about Ingram. We were going on a journey here not long ago on a bus, and Pastor Garrison stepped up in the door and he said, "I'm on the wrong bus. There ain't nothing in here but Ingram. I mean, I'll find somebody else." But anyway, when I get to heaven, I'm not going to have time to tell any lies. I've told enough of them down here on this earth. So I say, but anyway, I was speaking to someone yesterday. A guy that went with us to Clearwater, Florida. That's about far as you can go. And we had some old pieces of radios. And I called in Pastor Kelly. I said, "I'm down here at the Key West, Florida." I said, "Which way you go from here?" He said, "Keep going straight." But anyway, I remember Mrs. Kelly and a lady in somewhere in the 70s, the Lord was moving here in Moore County. And he was working in my life. And I come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe, under this ministry. It holds a special place in my heart and the heart of my family. I'm proud to be a part. part of this family for many years. There were a lot of folks here over the years of come and going. When I get to heaven, I want to see, first of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the second one will be Pastor Kelly, the one that taught me so much. I remember one Sunday he spoke a message here at Calvary Memorial Church. I was waiting in the foyer when he came out. I said, "Hey, preacher, who you been talking to?" He said, "I don't know, talking about a lot of people. I mean, I'm talking about somebody you've been talking about me." He said, "I didn't even know you were here today." Anyway, I love Calvary Memorial, I love the people here. And Miss Betty, I have kind of a bad back, Miss Betty, not beating me very much now. But I remember all the times she ever laid hands on me. I went to the store to get the baby some milk. Stayed a little too long, and she found me. Anyway, she did. It wasn't very pleasant. But anyway, it's good to be a part of Calvary Memorial Church. Learned an awful lot here, and appreciate the friendship of each one. Thank you very much.
If this seems like it's going long, just remember, we're going to feed you afterwards, so it's worth it.
I'm Jessica Francis. I like Kelly. I was really fighting. I didn't want to say anything. Probably should have written something. I had somebody else should have said it. I really appreciate that you're right. That's really sweet. I've known her since I was 8, and she was also one of my spiritual mothers. And I really want to thank you guys for sharing her with me, especially the last few years, because we came really, really close. And appreciate Bob. Joel and Bob actually have a lot in common. So we were kind of like marital advisors to each other in the last year or so. And it was kind of sweet. You know, we kind of share our aggravations and stuff and kind of laugh over them and grow from them. And that was really an encouragement to me and to us. And it kind of made like aggravating parts funny and humorous and more of a growing point. That I know she looked at all of you guys and she went to grow. And then she shared with me the other day how I guess it was last week while she was still talking, how she was giving Casey credit for coming back. And I appreciate that. She said if it wasn't for you, she wouldn't have come back. She said she had to take a break for a little while. But she said it was you that brought her back. And I want to thank you for that, because those last couple of years were really special to me. And I want to thank you all for sharing it with me.
Go right ahead.
You can see that I've got a reputation in this place. When I get up to speak, they take the clock down and put a calendar up. Okay. Alan asked me if I would say something today. And I really did not intend to, because I knew that a number of people would be saying things that they wanted to say, and I thought that it would be very good. But you know, I'm 71 years old. I've been here in this church since about 1971, as a matter of fact. And the first person I met here was Pastor Kelly. and he asked me, basically suggested that I quit my job at the state and help him start a school, and we did. And it's really interesting, the history of this place. And I know that Sissy would not like for me to say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. She inherited a large sum of money back when she first came to know the Lord. And I witnessed to them. They were living in Maine, and I witnessed to them and asked them to come down to Southern Pines that I had found the Lord. And it turned out very quickly that they both got saved. And she inherited this money, and she came over one night, and she said, God told me what to do with it. She said, I'm going to give every penny of it, to the dismay of her husband, to Calvary Memorial Church to start that school. And she did. And with that sum of money, we started the school, and 2 weeks before school was supposed to start, we didn't even have a building. We had Myrick Construction Company to come. They put up that metal building back there, and when time for school to begin took place, it had a principal, it had a teacher for each grade, right out of this church. And for the past 43 years, the teaching staff has been almost exclusively members of Calvary Memorial Church, which is amazing. It's an amazing thing. The vision that people have had for what this ministry has been all about. I feel like a great grandfather because there are people teaching here in this school. And I taught three generations right here at Calvary Christian School. It's amazing. And Elizabeth was a large part of all of this. And there were times when we had our conflicts. But I'll tell you something I've learned over the years, and I wanted to leave these thoughts with you. Because the biggest problem that we have in life, and I mention this often in the teaching here, is ourselves. It's the biggest problem you have in life. The only enemy that you really ever have in life is you. The people around you are not your problem. The circumstances of life is not your problem. It's how you respond to the people around you. It's your attitude toward the circumstances that define you. And it's really interesting. I heard somebody say this one time. We live a lifetime learning how to live. And just about the time we learn a few things, it's time to die. And that's kind of sad, but it's absolutely true. But I want to leave you with a thought or two here that's tremendously important. Paul wrote the Corinthians. It was a very carnal church. And here's what he said. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity or love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Charity, or love, suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up, seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fall or fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now, though we see through a glass darkly, then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even also as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is love. It's love. Now, I promise not to go much longer, but I want to show you something else. And it's out of Romans chapter 2. And I would encourage you to read the first 16 verses of Romans chapter 2 sometime. And think about what it says carefully. Because in life, you're going to meet people. And sometimes you're not going to think the same. And you're going to have conflict. You're going to have controversy. You're going to have disagreement. But the measure of getting it right in your relationship with other people is whether or not everything that you do in your relationship with them is constructive. You can have a relationship with people that's destructive. And for that, we will give account unto God. Better make sure that you have a right attitude. And it begins with understanding yourself more than anything else. And it's with that thought I say these things. I'm reading the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Romans, chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. That's so important to understand. When we find faults in people, it's necessary to examine ourselves and discover this. We're no better than anyone on the face of the earth. There's none good, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. They've all gone out of the way. There's none righteous, no, not one. And that includes us as judges of one another. The main thing is, do we have the view that God has of other people? For God so loved the world. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we better remember that in our relationship with every human being that breathes and that walks upon the face of this earth. God loved them. Every person. He's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. And so Paul goes on to say here, if I can get these tears out of my eyes so I can see these little words. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things? And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things? And doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth us to repentance? And this is so important in our relationship with other people. It's our goodness to them. When they're not doing right, it's our goodness to them that leads them to repentance. Not our judgments of them and condemnation of them, but it's our love for them. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation, anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentiles, but glory, honor, and peace in every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the mean, while accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. When I went down to the house and I saw Elizabeth lying there, she didn't have on what women like to call her pretty face. She was lying there dying. I saw my mom when she began to wither away. And I've often thought about Solomon's wisdom. How in Ecclesiastes 12, he encouraged people in their youth to give their life to Christ. Before that day came that they would be lying in a bed, no longer able to do anything. You see, the young girls that look in the mirror and adore their beauty, one day that's going to be gone, and it'll be gone just like that. The young men that work out like I used to do in the gym, the big muscles, and to be, you know, popular, to be the top man on the hill, the day is going to come that we're going to be lying in a bed. And our life, our whole life, is going to be gone as far as this world is concerned. The things that we've accumulated in the way of possessions, our education, no matter how many degrees we have, our popularity, all the things that people struggle for are ultimately the things that will destroy you. There's only one thing that can save you, and that's putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because every one of us are coming to that day just like Elizabeth, when we're going to be lying on that bed, if that's the way we go. And the only thing that's going to matter is our relationship before God and His judgment of us. Not our judgment of ourselves, but His judgment of ourselves as He reveals all the secrets of men. I just pray that, as Pastor Garrison said at the funeral the other day, that we'll all consider this time of life, because it's at death that we really learn to evaluate what's really important in life. It's not what you think is important while you're living. What's important is what's important when you're about to die. And the truth is, that's the only thing that ever really mattered. It's the only thing that ever really mattered. I would to God that Calvary Memorial Church would continue in this tradition, the tradition of the Word of God, understanding these things. Thank you.
Well, I know you are hungry, so I guess we'll go eat. I had a very tightly typed 3-page letter from Sissy's daughter that I was going to read, but we've really run out of time. But we'll have it down in the lunchroom if you want to read it. The ladies in the church have prepared food for everybody, and it'll be a time that you can meet with family and Bob, especially, to get to talk to him about things that he would like to be able to talk to all of you about. Anyhow, we'll have a prayer to end the service and a blessing for the food that we're about to partake of. Art.
gathered together.